Did you know Kona farmers made it into the Guinness Book of World Records for the largest mango, the largest avocado, and the largest jackfruit? Well, that's the rock star status of some of our crops. Tropical fruit expert Ken Love talked to us following a conference and series of meetings across the state with local fruit growers.
The transition from the plantation farming to small family farms, it's really kind of come full circle, where the small family farms are recognized as something that needs to be sustainable.
Well, we've been talking a lot about diversification for I don't know how long. And the question is, okay, well, what's going to take, right?
Well, you know, the big companies always came in and said, oh, you just grow pineapple, you just grow sugar cane, you just grow this and that. And what we found over the last 50 years was that when you have 10, you know, different crops based on seasonality, it was a much more stable environment. You know, you reduced, it was like a risk management tool. It reduced your need for excess labor or outside labor. Generally, a family could not only pick coffee themselves, but they could pick oranges and macadamia nuts and all the star fruit and all the different fruit that are available out there. And so now when you figure that in terms of season, that kind of diversity and what the stores are interested in and the chefs are interested, it all seems to be coming together.
Well, what is showing promise?
In terms of fruit, I was amazed at the amount of wax jambu, which is a very close relative of mountain apple, the amount that's been sold around the state, even that we sold, was 600 pounds in 1 month at just our small local grocery in Captain Cook. That was amazing.
Well, I'm not familiar with that fruit. I know star fruit, but...
Yeah, wax jambu is a... it's a relative, very close relative of mountain apple, which is Syzygium. Hello, boys and girls. Can you say Syzygium? It's getting hard for me. Syzygium maliensis, and wax jambu is Syzygium samarkensis. And so the distinction is that the wax jambu, or wax apple as it's called, is much more shelf-stable than mountain apple. And the taste is virtually the same. So it's really an incredible fruit. And the same with the new varieties that have come in from other countries, like the new varieties of star fruit and some of the Japanese mandarins and tangerines that we brought in. They really last a long time. They're good producers, and something different for consumers and chefs to work with.
So now, can you do value-added products out of those types of tropical fruit?
Oh, I think we can come up with value-added products out of everything. Mountain apple sauce is just exquisite, where the wax jambu, if you have like those spiced apple rings from that, that's really good.
Now, I know there's a lot being done with breadfruit.
Yeah, sure is. And the breadfruit, although usually frozen, it's frozen into chunks or fries. I know my son's a chef and uses about 200 pounds a week of frozen local breadfruit.
Well, that's interesting, because I've never had frozen breadfruit. I've always had it fresh. Interesting
well,
to me.
I mean, sometimes when it's fresh, that's always best. But, you know, it's not in season 365 days. So in order to keep things on the menu, we have to preserve them.
I know there's some talk about producing flour potentially, but they need the volume.
Yeah, I think it's getting there. I know it's available in other countries. Being celiac, I'm very keen on being able to purchase breadfruit flour or jackfruit seed flour locally from local fruit. That would be ideal.
I know we've got a number of other fruits out there. Gosh, I believe on Maui we have the persimmon farm.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, Clark Hashimoto's persimmon farm is just it's a wonderful tour, too, if you get up that way, as well as having a great fruit. Unfortunately, we can't grow them at lower elevations effectively, although there are different types of persimmons we can grow down Mackay. But it's just a different flavor and a different feeling.
And I know sometimes, too, that you've got to be able to get, you've got to convince the farmers to try growing some of these crops. I know I did a story some time ago about the cashew farmer on Kauai. He had the most cashew trees in the ground. So it's just really interesting that, you know, you've got to get the farmers to kind of go out there and take some risks.
Yeah, one of the things that we've, thanks to the Department of Ag, we've had a number of projects where we could make the trees available to farmers at zero cost in the case of figs, or at very low cost in the case of different varieties of avocados and citrus. So that makes it a lot easier for them to take a chance on putting something in, like finger limes, which have gotten quite popular now. And
yes,
and
I've seen those in the stores recently.
Yeah, it's getting there. There's three major farmers around the state, and you know, it's the chefs are arguably our best customers as fruit growers, and they're just trying to pick up as much of the fruit as possible. So even a producer like myself, I've also worked sometimes as a chef, and in fact tomorrow night at the Four Seasons in Hualalai, and I have to buy some of the fruit because it's off season here where it's in season on Kauai or in Hilo. And so by working together as a group as Hawaii Tropical Fruit Growers, we're able to maintain the flow better, which will help wholesalers and individual chefs at high-end properties be able to keep a supply and keep something on the menu for some time.
What's the snapshot for citrus and mango?
It's definitely improving. We've got a lot of new mango varieties here to extend the season. We're utilizing new techniques. In fact, our recent conference brought in Peter Solares, who's a grower in Australia, and showed some of the growers around. Well, we visited most of the islands, and he explained how to make trellises so that the trees are very low, and you can. It's easier to harvest. I mean, we don't need binoculars anymore to see if there's a couple fruit on top. You know, we can keep them trellised and keep them low. A couple years ago, we had Dr. Yonemoto from Japan come in and basically make bonsai mango trees. So I had a mango this year in a large 50-gallon pot that was no taller than I am, so it was about 5.5 feet, and it had 40 fruit on it. Well, it doesn't have the 400 of a big tree, but I can pick them in 7 minutes and get them off to market.
Wow. That's pretty incredible.
You know, and in that space, I can put, you know, 10 trees that would cover the same area as one tree with 400 or 500 fruit.
So, and you bonsai them, huh? Interesting.
Yeah, what they grow in Japan, you can see a 10 by 10 foot tree that's about 3.5 feet tall with 1,000 fruit on it. So there's a lot of these techniques that we try to introduce growers to here. And some of them have adopted these methods, and it's helped to increase the production.
Right, increase your yield and make it more manageable, I guess.
Yeah, and reduce the need for external labor and make it easier to harvest. I mean, the labor is a major issue for us.
That was Ken Love, head of the Tropical Fruit Growers Association, talking about the latest fruit darlings. And for you foodies out there, we asked Love if he had a favorite fruit. He told us about an exotic called sapote, which is fairly new to the islands. Love says it tastes like chocolate pudding. Hard to find, but something to be on the prowl for.